from the peaceful shore. Very deeply still, with hope seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despair.
Thing to to think how God, when you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you're just sitting there on the sidelines, and God expresses his love to you, and it lifts you up again. My, it's so precious. If you've ever experienced it, it's a very precious thing. It's very good to see you all here this morning. We really thank the Lord that finally we can meet more of us. I feel a good deal intimidated this morning, Brother Eli, because there's so many people. I'm not used to seeing so many people anymore. But we are thankful to the Lord this morning. I would like to invite you to read with me a few scriptures in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read just two verses there. Three verses, sorry, in case you're counting exactly. Verse number 12. Hebrews 9, verse number 12. And it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So if the blood of bulls and goats could cover sin and let a man fellowship with God, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ purge the sins from your conscience? And in chapter 10, it just says something there which I want us to pick up as well. Verse number 4. Well, perhaps if you bear with me, let's read from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. Amen. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment, this morning, this hour that you have given to us to be together with the saints. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to you this morning. Please, Father, help us to look into your word, Father, and speak to us, Lord, that it may help us and bring us somewhere. We commit this Sunday school into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you, saints. You may take your seats, and I will just make an announcement right away concerning Sunday school, that we haven't had Sunday school since the pandemic restrictions started for the children. But seeing that the restrictions have been lifted, we are really thankful to the Lord that now we can have Sunday school classes for the children again. So from next week, Sunday, we will have Sunday school classes upstairs, just two classes for the children that are of school going age, up to about 7 or 8 years. They can go into the room upstairs with Brother Greg and Sister Liana, who have graciously desired to continue with the Sunday school classes. So they will meet up there, but we will change our program a bit. The Sunday school class will start the moment that we are starting here for that class, but it will not finish when we finish. These children will continue to have Sunday school until we finish song service. Amen. So they will have 1 hour of Sunday school, because it takes that much to influence them right. But another age group from about 8 or so up to about 16, when you finish your leaving set, they will be in the room upstairs there with our sister Angel. She taught them from they were young. Now they are a bit older, so we thought she would grow up with them. So sister will be with them. We will be helping Sister Angel very much. But they will finish the moment that we finish. Just 30 minutes is enough for them. So those that are older than that, we can still continue to have Sunday school with you here. So may the Lord bless us this morning as we look into this. So we are just continuing from last week what we were speaking about. If you were following the Sunday school last week, we began to speak about a desire that people has to see God. And we looked very much into that from Scripture, how Job even he wrote about it, that if I could find the place where God dwells, I want to go there and speak to him. And we all have this desire, whether sometimes people are more aware of it, some are less aware of it, but it manifests in the things that we do, the way that we pray, the way that we sing. We've got this desire to meet God, to see him and talk to him about something. Because many times when you get into his presence, you find that there are things that you thought maybe they don't bother you, deep down in your subconscious, buried there. But the moment you get into the presence of God, the very correct presence of God, those things come up and you speak to him and, but Lord, I don't understand this or something like that. And he always answers you to dissolve any doubts that you may have. So that's the desire that we have as Christians. Other people have that desire. They do it in a different way. They try to be astronauts, you know, go to space and look for another planet. And they're just looking for something. But the real thing they are looking for is to see God himself and speak to him. And so this week we just want to continue on this topic, but look at it from another perspective a little bit. And then we'll finish this topic next week, that we have this desire to see God. But have you ever considered how much God has a desire to express himself to you and to me? God wants to do that, you know? So we have this desire, and God has got this desire. He wants to express himself to you and me so that it's not just theoretical. Amen. You know, you don't want to leave church today and go outside there, and a brother comes to you and say, have you enjoyed yourself? Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you meet the Lord today? And you say, yes, but you didn't. It's just theoretical in your mind. It's like asking a brother after church, did you meet the pastor today? Yeah, when he didn't. You know, when you meet the pastor today, you don't have to think about it or think it was a theoretical thing. You know yourself that you met him. Or when you meet brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you know that I met this person, I spoke to him, and that's the kind of reality that God wants you to have. Amen. When you leave this place here today, he wants you to have an experience where you can say, I met with God. It's not theoretical, but it's a very real experience. Yeah. Just as real as you are listening to me now. Amen. You can't go there and imagine that Brother Eli was teaching Sunday school. You know, oh, it was Brother Maxwell. No, you know it was Brother Wilmore because you are experiencing it right now. Now, it is not only about coming to church in here and meeting God in here and then going home, say, oh, praise God, I met the Lord. We'll meet him again the next time we come to church. God wants to meet with you every time. Amen. He wants to walk with you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to shepherd with you. God wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be involved in your life, to know you and to associate with him so that it's not just a theoretical thing. Say, well, I'm a Christian. My parents were Christians, you know, and I was baptized. And no, it's a real relationship that God wants. And there is no story that says it better than the story that I would like you to read with me. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, from the very beginning, because when we go to the very beginning, we can begin to see some things. Why did God do certain things? Amen. You know? So in the book of Genesis chapter 3, I would ask you, sister, if you could put that verse for me. Oh, verse 8, sorry. This is the story of Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. And God had told them that do not eat of this fruit, because the day that you eat thereof, you will die. But things happened and they ate of this fruit, and there they were in the Garden of Eden. And I want you to picture this with me, Because it will reveal something to you today of the nature of God.
Amen.
And the Bible says in verse number 8, after they had done eaten this fruit, it says, and they, Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Amen.
Let's go to the next one. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? What's happening here? Can you go back to verse number 8 again? And we can begin to look again and think about this for a minute. That these two were in the Garden of Eden and they heard the voice of the Lord. They must have known God's voice for them to hear that it is God's voice.
Amen.
This was not the first time that God was coming to them. God must have been coming to them over and over until it came to a point that now when they hear the voice of the Lord God, they knew that God is coming.
Amen.
Just like he does every other time.
Amen.
And he was doing this for a reason. God wasn't just coming into the garden, but he was doing this for a reason. So when they heard the voice of God coming, they knew, oops, he's coming for that thing he always comes for every day. And what was their reaction? They had never done this before. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God comes to the place they normally meet, and he doesn't find Adam and Eve. And he begins to cry out to Adam and Eve. And he says in the next verse, where are you? He called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And God began to speak to them. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of that tree? So what was happening here? God was talking with Adam and Eve in the garden. If you continue on with this story, you will see that that's where God now began to judge them. They were blaming each other. But there was something going on right there. God was talking with Adam and Eve.
Amen.
And so from there we can learn that that's what he used to come for every other day before that. He would come in the cool of the evening and he would speak to them. Have you ever wondered if the Bible had recorded the previous day? What conversation would have gone on between Adam and God and Eve? What conversation? There was no sin. They had not sinned against God. They had not eaten of the fruit the previous day. They were having sweet fellowship.
Amen.
They were communing and talking with each other, Lord. I so much enjoyed being in the garden today. If you could put for me, sister, I have a quote there that I would like to read for you. But God would come and speak with his children and relate to them because that's what he wanted. God doesn't want to dwell alone. And now when God made man in the beginning to fellowship with him,
amen.
This man was in perfect fellowship in the Garden of Eden. There was nothing between this man and God that could hinder this fellowship. They were in a perfect fellowship with God. And how it must have been on that day when God would come down in the cool of the evening and call Adam. He and Eve would come up and they would worship God. They would fellowship and commune one with another. That's the very thing that calls us together like this. That's why we are here, isn't it? So we could fellowship one with another. Enjoy ourselves in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do with us. Yeah? That's what God intended in the Garden of Eden. Now that fellowship from God and man was broken by sin. And you can see in the verses that followed there. That because Adam and Eve, they did this thing that God told them not to do, sin came in. And the fellowship was broken. It was no more what it was, but it was this now, where God is saying, have you eaten of that fruit? And this man says, is the woman? And the woman says, is the serpent? God begins to say, because you have done this, the serpent will have no legs. You eat dust. And what kind? It was a different kind of fellowship now. Do you understand that? But the very thing we want to see is that God came for a reason. He wanted to fellowship with his children. He wanted to express himself to them. He wanted them to enjoy the Garden of Eden. He wanted them to be family. Amen. He wanted to dwell with his family just like a father does with his children. Amen. You people that are fathers and mothers here know what it's like to come home from work. You might ever be so tired. But the moment you get home, you park the car, the children here, it's you. They open the window. It's daddy, they get excited. My, and you see them. What does it do to you, Brother Greg? It energizes you, you know. I don't know if it happens in your house, but that's what happens to me. You know, and you get home and my, oh, little man, he can't walk well yet. And he's crawling, running to daddy. I crawl down to him too, you know, and I lift him up. And we're just having a good time, you know. That's what God wants with his children. And we experience that in our relationship with family. But what if you do that every day with your children? And oh my, they tell you what they went through the day. Daddy, look at my test. I got 95%. And you're just having a good time. Then you come the next day. Nobody's looking through the window. You open the door. Nobody's crawling to you. They've all run away. They hid themselves from daddy. They've gone upstairs to their rooms. And you're wondering, but what's going on? You can tell something is wrong. Something has come in here to disturb the fellowship that you were having with your children. Amen. That's the same feeling God must have had coming down in the Garden of Eden and looking for his son and his daughter. And they hid themselves from the presence of God. And God had to ask Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding yourself from me? Now we could spend more time on this story, but to move on, this is God that we are talking about. It's his reaction to this that I would like you to learn something from it. Because he is God. Remember in Genesis 1 verse 1, there wasn't anything. There was just nothing. And then it says, in the beginning, God created. It was the same God who created heavens and earth who was talking to Adam and Eve here. The all-powerful, almighty God, when he seen that man has sinned, what could he do? What things could God have done? He might have just wiped them off, start with another new person who would never do this, and we would never have known about it. But no, there was something important with Adam and Eve that God valued so much that he didn't want to lose that. He wanted to fellowship with them to the extent that even though they had sinned against God, and this was a righteous God in whom there is no sin at all, yet he still wanted to have fellowship with his children to the extent that he said, I'm going to make a way for them. I'm going to make a way for me to continue to have fellowship with my children. Amen. And God killed a lamb for them. Amen. And he made skins of animals and he slayed the lamb and took the skins and made clothes for them. And under that blood of bulls and goats, God continued to fellowship with men. Amen. God continued, even though, as we read in the book of Hebrews, the blood that was offered of bulls and goats, it didn't take away the sin that they did. It only covered the sin. It's like I write something on my hand here, and it's a blot, and I put something to cover. It doesn't take away the writing that is on my hand. I'm only just covering this sin. And after a while, I have to apply something again to keep covering. No wonder that offering had to be continually made. Year after year, they came to the temple and offered offering for sin. Offered offering because they were covering and covering and covering that sin that could not be taken away by the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. And in that condition, where there was sin that could not be taken away by the blood of bulls and goats, yet God gave them this covering of sin, he continued to fellowship with men under those conditions.
Amen.
God, in Moses, and all the exploits that he did was under the blood of bulls and goats. All the exploits that Joshua and Joseph and all these Old Testament saints that you can read about, the great exploits they did and how God revealed himself to them, and he came and he led them and guided them and fought their wars and everything that God did under the blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin. No wonder when God spoke to Moses and said, build the tabernacle in the wilderness, he showed him a pattern, and he said there must be an outer court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. And in that holy of holies was the mercy seat. He showed him how to make it, and the presence of God came and dwelt in that mercy seat, and nobody could enter there. Yeah? People could come into the outer court. They could enter into the holy place, but none of them could go into the holiest of holies where the presence of the Lord was, because there was sin that could not be taken away yet. There was only just the covering of sin by the blood of bulls and goats. And the only person who could enter in there was the high priest, and only once a year. And this high priest has to be tied around with a rope, and then he had to have bells on his skirt, you know. And he goes in there with incense, and if he did his things right, he would leave. You know? And the people outside will be listening to those bells going, ganding, ganding, while he's in there. The moment they hear no more noise, they know he's dead. Because to enter into the presence of God under the blood of bulls and goats, which could not take away sin, was death. You literally dropped dead in that holiest of holies, and they can't even come in to take you. They have to pull you out. So severe is sin that this is what it caused. So God was veiling himself. There was a tent between the holy place and the holiest of holies, which separated. When you come into the holy place, there's this tent made of skins. God was veiling himself behind those skins. And throughout all this, which is a type, but throughout all this Old Testament, that's what God did. He was still having that fellowship with his children, veiled in a tent, veiled in the body of a man in some way. And that veil remained until the day of the crucifixion. And aren't you glad that it was torn from the top to the bottom, that veil in the temple? And it opened like this and displayed the mercy seat. And here, like you to read here, that but since Pentecost, since the crucifixion, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, for that generation, Jesus was that God, veiled. And when he died at Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and ripped that veil from the top to the bottom. So I just want you to think of this juncture, because it's important for next week. That from the day that men sinned in the Garden of Eden, God provided for them the blood of bulls and goats.
Amen.
To cover their sin. But something else happened at crucifixion.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ was spilled, and he died for your sins and my sin.
Amen.
Not to cover the sin, but to take away the sin. We read that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. That your sin was no more there. You don't cover it no more. It is completely gone. In the eyes of God, as long as you are under the blood of Jesus Christ, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now, in that condition, God has brought you back to the condition that Adam was, for perfect fellowship. That's what God wants to have with you. Is that perfect condition where you are in fellowship with God, nothing between you and him. But what happened at that time when God rent the veil and Jesus was on full display on the cross, and they were looking at him, what did they say to Jesus? He raised others. Can't he raise himself?
Amen.
If he was truly the Son of God. What happened to these people? But their minds were blinded. And for a reason. They couldn't see that this was their God they crucified on the cross. And their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So there was a veil that God put to hide himself from men in a way that he could talk to men, in a way he could fellowship with them under the blood of bulls and goats. But when the blood of Jesus Christ came, it took away the sin. There was no more need for a veil anymore, and God was on full display, yet these people, their minds were blinded.
Amen.
They couldn't see it. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. So I want you to look at this transition here. That God put a veil of skins in the temple, in the tabernacle. And they could only come as far as that veil. They couldn't go into that presence without dying. But at crucifixion, God tore that veil and removed it and displayed the mercy seat. Now they could see God in full view, yet they couldn't see. Only a few of those chosen believers could see. Some looked and said, truly he was the Son of God. They looked and see. They didn't have a veil. But I want you to notice that this veil was no longer in the temple there, separating the holy place from the holiest of holies. The veil was in their hearts.
Amen.
And it remains until today.
Amen.
They read the Old Testament. They don't see Jesus. You read the Old Testament, you see Jesus. Everywhere you see Jesus, but they read, they don't see. They still say he wasn't the Son of God. But we read, we see, because that veil is taken away from us. We can look and see, but that veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when they turn to the Lord Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Then they will see and say,
amen.
Oh, we crucified our Lord.
Amen.
Now there's a small lesson in there,
amen,
which I would like to ask you to hold for next week. The unveiled God. Could it be possible that the Gentiles have done the same thing? Could it be possible today that you could sit here and God has unveiled himself for you to see God, to relate with God, to walk with him, to go out of this place today and say, I was in the presence of God? Could it be possible that there are people here who will have that experience when we go out today? And there are people sitting here, when we go out, they'll say, what was that anyway? Has the Gentiles done the same thing? God has removed this veil. He has taken away, he has provided a lamp to take away sin completely. But you have put a veil upon your heart. No wonder people sometimes can't see God, because they have consciously put something upon their own hearts to veil God away from them.
Amen.
And we want to find out that next week by the grace of the Lord. Let us pray.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your grace that has brought us into your house, that we could be together in this fashion. These few words, Lord, that were spoken, Lord, may they help someone, Lord. Help us, Father, to realize that, oh God, you have put yourself on full display, that we could relate with you the way you related to Adam before sin came in, Lord. Father, please be merciful unto us, that we may look into our hearts this morning, Lord. And if we have put any veil, Lord, Father, to veil you away from us, Father, help us, Father, in this song service that we're entering, to break every veil, Lord, until you are in full view and we can relate to you, Father, the way that you want us to relate with you. Be merciful now and bless our musicians. Lead them, Lord, to guide them, Father, to lead us into the songs, Lord, that would Break every fetter, break every veil, Lord, until, Father, we are so much into you, Father, until your word, when it comes, that, Father, it will just merge together one with us, oh God. Grant us this grace this morning. We commit the service to you in Jesus' name.